other yak babies. Sex, presidents, and sometimes books.
Welcome to Yak Babies, a new podcast on the internet sponsored by Robert Goulet's Shoe Chalet. Our laces are going places. My name's Aaron here with the personal pals, Brick.
There's a lot of clothing sponsoring us lately.
There might be a formula that I'm working with for the last couple. We have Dave. And of course, we have Old Irish Nico.
Hello.
I was going to say the
same. Today's topic. Brick, this was your topic. Tell us about it.
Yeah, it was just, I was trying to think of something. It's nearing Thanksgiving as we're talking about this. So something more positive than maybe our last few. So The question is, what is, and you know, whenever we talk about our favorite books or whatever, we always go to the same well of maybe 10 books between us. So I was trying to think of something a little outside of that. So the question is, what is the best book you've ever read, or at least one of your favorite books that no one's really ever heard of?
This is a good question, and I had a really hard time thinking about it because I feel like my taste is so basic that I like a lot of things I've read are very well known. So I was like really trying to plumb the depths here, and I was feeling very embarrassed about my reading because it's like nothing I read is very cool or like underground or interesting. But I have a couple, but I want to hear what you guys have to say. So Nico, what do you have for this one?
Wait, come back to me. I haven't landed on mine yet.
Brick, you said you had one.
Sure. Yeah. So mine was a book. I believe it came out in 2010. It's called Skippy Dies by Paul Murray. It got a bit of buzz the year it came out, and then it kind of disappeared. I read it a couple times, and I really liked it. I have a soft spot for adolescent parochial school books, so it's square in that. But it's also just like it's got really strong characters, and it takes the tightrope between sad and funny very well. It's a funny book, but it's about the death of a kid, and then all the peers around him kind of grieving it. So it takes place in a private school in I think Ireland, maybe England, I can't remember. And the kid Skippy dies in the first chapter. I think he chokes on he takes some kind of pill like recreationally and then chokes on a Danish or a donut or something. And then so most of the book is the next like semester or year of the school and everyone kind of dealing with their friend dying in the first pages. There's like the main drive is this kid who's like this really smart kid that's trying to like invent some sort of machine that'll switch. It's either like a time machine or like it switches dimensions to try and undo his death. And then, you know, it goes into other characters about like maybe there was more involvement in his death than just an accident. So it goes kind of these different stages of either figuring out what happened or how to move forward. And it's very funny, but it's also very sad. I really liked it. So you should read it again. It's been a while. I read it when it came out, and then I read it again like maybe 2 years later.
Did you read, like, was there reviews of it, or did you like dive in the discourse about this book at all, or was there much of it at all?
I remember, and I'm pretty sure I reviewed it for Chamber 4 actually myself. So I'm sure when I did, I read around. It was generally like very well received. I don't know if it was, it had a lot of buzz when it came out. It just didn't stick around, which is too bad because it was really, I'm pretty sure because we used to do our own like Book of the Year things, pretty sure it was my pick that year.
Right. It's like a separate piece updated for modern times and like...
Yeah, that's a good...
Like, bad.
That's a good comparison, actually. And I love a separate piece. That is a great book.
We need to do a separate piece for Canon or Canon, because I know we have divergent opinions on that book.
Yeah, because I'm not convinced that book... I might not pick it for the Canon either, to be honest.
Oh, really?
Or at least for the... I might shoot that one in the ocean, even though I love it. So that could be okay. a good candidate. I don't think it's all that relevant anymore, or at least not for the framework. Like, you have to have a lot of knowledge going into that, because I think the way that relationship would be interpreted would not be. That's not the book we're talking about, so we'll just save that for Canon and Canon.
A little preview of an episode of the future.
Yeah. Have you read a book called The Sense of an Ending by Julian Barnes?
No, but I do like Julian Barnes.
Maybe write that down. That sounds similar to what you're talking about.
Sense of an Ending. Flaubert's Parrot. A couple others I read by him. What, Sense of an Ending?
Yeah.
Is it also about a parochial school?
Yeah, and someone who dies.
Oh, wow.
Great. I'll read all of them. I don't know why. I do know why.
It's not funny the way Skippy Dies is. But
yeah, that doesn't surprise me with Barnes, but that's okay.
Did you, like, as a kid, did you want to go to a school like that? Was that like a...
I grew up in an all-boys summer camp, so I mean, there's a...
Right, of course.
There's a bit of familiarity built in there.
Makes sense.
Well, mine is kind of educational system too, in a way. It's a memoir called My Unsentimental Education by Deborah Monroe. She grew up in like 60s and 70s northern Wisconsin woods. You know, she's expected to get married and have kids and stay there forever. And instead, she leaves it behind to follow, like, this passion she has for books. So it kind of follows her career. She's now a writing professor at San Marcos. But it's a lot about how her friends and family never really understood why she wouldn't stay in this tiny little town of like 2,000 people. And, you know, she had a hard time because she had to move all over the country chasing jobs. And it's funny and it's also sad in some ways too. But overall, and it's been a few years since I read it, so I don't remember all that well, but I liked it quite a bit.
What, how'd you compile that novel or book or memoir?
I reviewed it for The Observer, so I don't know. They must have sent a copy to the office.
Had like found through your own digging?
No, I didn't seek it out or anything. And I don't know if it...
Oh, okay.
I don't know how it did. I think it was University of Georgia Press, so probably wasn't widely in bookstores or anything. But I really liked it. It was touching in a lot of ways and
nice.
Very funny.
Nico, do you have something?
Yeah. All right. Okay. I dug something up from our Chamber 4 archive, which I can't believe is still on the internet. One of the best books that I picked for 2009 or 2010, so that's solid 10 years ago now, was called Misadventure by Millard Kaufman. And it wasn't, people had heard of it at the time, but now I can't imagine anybody still remembers it. Because that was, the guy was like a, Millard Kaufman was a Hollywood screenwriter in the 50s, and then basically didn't write anything from between the mid 70s and 2007, when he released a novel with McSweeney's. And then in 2010, his second novel is called Misadventure. And it reads like it was written by a Hollywood screenwriter from the 50s. It's kind of like adventurous but kind of, I don't know, low stakes adventure. It's like this real estate agent that's like trying to solve kind of a mystery, but it's very fun. And that seems to be kind of the main, and very entertaining. That seems to be like kind of the main thing that he's going for. So yeah, I would say that.
Was it a C4 great read?
Yeah.
Not a Baby Town Frolics?
No.
I read his first one, the McSweeney's one that was The Bowl of Cherries. It was like his first novel. He was like 90-something, right?
Yeah.
And obviously he was a professional writer. I don't remember it very clearly, but I remember really liking it. It was like, it's kind of wacky.
Yeah, that's kind of how this one was, as far as I remember. It's, you know, kind of one of those rollicking, like, I don't call it adventure or suspense, you know? So apparently in the 50s, he wrote a couple of movies that were complete dog shit. But then by the end of the 50s, he was writing movies that had like Spencer Tracy and Frank Sinatra in them.
Which ones?
Never So Few and Bad Day at Black Rock.
Bad Day at Black Rock is a great movie.
Yeah, well, that's Millard Kaufman.
Nice.
Based on a short story in the American magazine by Howard Breslin.
Interesting. Yeah, it's awesome. It's like it's not quite noir, but it's sort of like, oh, it's like, it's genre-y. It's very sort of like plotty, but it's like a outsider comes to town and has to deal with the weird conspiracy in the town. It's good. It's worth watching for sure.
Cool.
I was thinking of a couple comics in this category. Like I said earlier, I feel like my taste or my explorations have been so surface or so shallow. I don't really have like a good like deep like underground picks. A couple I thought of that were like things that I don't hear talked about as often or don't get maybe sort of celebrated the way that other comics or other things do. And one is a book I really loved when I was younger and getting into comics was The Justice Society of America by Len Strazewski and Drombit McParabek. This is a Justice Society is a their golden age hero. First Flash, the first Green Lantern, they were all created in the late 30s, early 40s, and were when superheroes died out in the 50s and then came back in the 60s, they replaced those characters with new versions. And the, you know, the shift from like magic to science basically was the sort of like the broad shift there. But then those characters were beloved by the writers who then ended up writing comics in the 60s and 70s. So they brought them back eventually. And so kind of stuck around. And so they were always like these old fashioned, like out of date heroes that no one really knew what to do with. And they put out a limited series. I think it wasn't supposed to be limited. I think it was just canceled at 10 issues or something like that. In the 90s of these old superheroes like reforming their team and still trying to do it. And it was great. I loved it. It was so much fun. And I didn't know who the characters were. I was trying to figure it out. And there's a character named Wildcat who dresses up like a big cat. And I thought he was like just a different version of Batman. And my older brother could not convince me that wasn't the case. And I was like, yeah, this guy's the Flash. This one's Batman. He was like, no, it's just a different guy. I was like, well, he looks like a bat. So kind of. He's like, it's not Batman. He's very upset with me. But they're really fun. They're just very light, good adventures. And Mike Parabek was a great artist. I really love his style. It's a very sort of animated kind of like lantern jaw art style. He also drew the comics based on the Batman animated series for a while. He's really good. Died relatively young. But yeah, worth checking out. I don't think it's collected. If it is, I need to get it. I don't think it is. But it's really fun. I really enjoyed it. And then on that same, also a Parabek book, was The Fly. This was an Impact Comics series. It went for a long time. It lasted like 30 or something issues or something like that. Impact was a, I think it was an imprint of DC Comics. Or I can't remember if they maybe just bought it. But it was like a separate publisher. And for a while in the early 90s, it was a big deal. It was exciting. And there were lots of prominent creators. Like Mark Waid wrote a bunch of those books. And Parabek drew them. And I think, I want to say like Howard Chaykin, maybe not. And it was cool. They're sort of like bright colored. Like The Fly was basically like Spider-Man, right? Kind of similar concept, like a teenage character gets superpowers and becomes a hero, has to balance being a hero with his teen life. Nothing surprising, but just really fun. And my brother and I liked them a lot. They were all based on old characters from Archie Comics, I think. They're kind of updated, but not in a gritty way, just in a, kind of like a more modern way. They were really fun. And I think it died out maybe after a year or two. Maybe it's more than that, actually, because I feel like The Fly went for a long time. And they tried to reboot it a couple times. It never quite took. And so the characters will pop up here and there. But that early Impact Comics run was really fun and definitely worth checking out. I don't see anyone talking about it ever. It seems to have been pretty much forgotten, which is too bad. You still good reads. This is interesting. I guess this question is interesting to me because I started thinking about why do things, you know, how do you find things that don't get talked about or that people don't seem to know about? And then that sensation of once you finish it, you're like, I want to talk about this with somebody and no one knows what you're talking about, right? I feel like that's a common experience of these books too, is you want to go somewhere to like have the discourse and read the reviews and see what the, you know, chatter is about this, and there's no venue for it, which is interesting.
Yeah, it's kind of the opposite of what I find myself doing a fair bit of the time, is like just reading something or watching a TV show just because everybody's talking about it.
Right, yeah.
And it's like, even if you don't like it, it's like, well, I have to watch Tiger King because otherwise I'm not going to understand anything that anybody's going to say to me.
Yeah, you don't want to miss out on the conversation, but then it becomes your choices of reading or view are dictated by like whatever the headline is,
weird,
opposed to like what you might actually seek out on your own. So listeners, tell us about your reads that are underappreciated, or the books that are things you've read that no one else knows about seemingly, and tell us about them so we can talk about them. We want to share in your discourse as well. Do that on Twitter at YakBabies, and also email us at yakbabiespodcast@gmail.com to send us those details. Also, check us out on Patreon. Patreon.com/YakBabies is where our secret podcast lives. For $1 a month, you can get access to a whole other universe of YakBabies content. It's a different world out there, and it's really fun. Definitely worth engaging with for sure for that $1. And also, we have merch. If you Google YakBabies merchandise, you should be able to find it. We still don't quite have a handle on that URL, but it's out there, and it's really good. There's mugs, there's t-shirts, there's a bunch of really good stuff.
Find it on Twitter.
So check that out if you want to flaunt your YakBabies fandom to your baffled peers. Until then, YakBabies, yakking off.
The YakBabies would like to thank all the loyal listeners, and especially their patrons past and present, including Michael, Bonnie, Sebastian, David, Roger, and William Howard Taft.